The idea, says Muller, that any kind of free society can be constructed in which people will never be offended or insulted is absurd. Absurd. So, too, he says, is the notion that people should have the right to call on the law to defend them against being offended or insulted. Rather, the law protects offensive speech. Offensive speech under the First Amendment. It fully protects it. I agree with that. Do you? We who live democratically can very much become upset with each other. We sure can. We can argue vehemently, and we do lots of that, whether it's rational or irrational. But the right to argue, the freest possible discourse, is our absolute and fundamental right under the First Amendment. That should not now or ever be abridged in any way, Congress. No way. That's my opinion. What's yours? In this regard, I as a Christian find the words of the Apostle Paul so spot on. Paul reminds us in Corinthians that the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ has always been considered offensive by those who reject it. Offensive, Paul's word. The cross, the blood, forgiveness from sin, and even sin itself, as Christianity would recognize, is in fact offensive to the non-Christian, no matter how true. Isn't it? Of course it is. Even as the claims of Islam are offensive to Christians, or perhaps even secularists. But, says Muller, adherents of other belief systems will be equally free to present their truth claims in an equally public manner. This is simply the cost of religious liberty. Boy, amen to that. Speak up! I don't have to listen to what you have to say, and you don't have to listen to what I have to say. I have no problem with witness from any other religion. I have the right not to listen. The Apostle Paul goes on to state that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to non-believers. It's foolishness. Something foolish to that hearer can be regarded as offensive and consequently hate speech. And further, says Paul, the preaching of Christianity and the cross is a stumbling block to the hearer. Is it ever? More offense and consequently, I suppose, hate. Well, so be it. It is a right of the Christian to testify and witness, even as it is for the secularist to testify and witness against religion. And boy, isn't there a whole lot of that today? And especially Christianity. They're coming at us. When rabid secularists attack Christianity and all things Christian, is that not hate speech? Or hate conduct at work? Perhaps even at its worst? By their rules, I would have the right to be offended. Ooh, hate speech by the secularist. And again, by their rules, I would have the right to legal redress of their hateful actions under the doctrine of offendedness. No end to it, is there? No matter how irrational or emotional the reaction, I would then have the right to be offended because of the actions of the ACLU, or ACORN, or the Southern Poverty Law Center. Boy, there's an incredible group at work. Or any other similar organization for attacking the principles in which I believe. Professor Helms was spot on when he said that such a concept, offendedness, would not only divide America, but fracture our society, verbally turning us one against another. And back to the Southern Poverty Law Center. This organization deals in hate and attempts to identify it, at least what it thinks hate is, and blacklist, criticize, and demonize those who it deems as hateful. Recently, this supposed civil rights organization attacked, ready for this, Dr. Benjamin Carson. Ben Carson, the retired pediatric neurosurgeon and likely 2016 Republican presidential contender. The Southern Poverty Legal Center added Carson to its extreme watch list. Wow. Extreme watch list. No matter to the Southern Poverty Law Center that Ben Carson is widely considered as one of the most positive role models for all, and especially young black males in modern America. SPLC added Carson to the extreme watch list because Dr. Ben Carson had the audacity to state, hear these words, Ben Carson's words, quote, marriage is between a man and a woman, end quote. Wow. Whew. extreme hate, is it not? Unbelievable. For such a statement, Dr. Carson was publicly defamed by the Southern Poverty Law Center and held up to ridicule by being portrayed as akin to the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazi Party. Oh, my soul. Shocking, is it not? The alleged hateful speech, "Marriage is between a man and a woman," surely brings out the deep-rooted and angry hatred in so many other haters who pursue the gospel of offendedness. Offendedness. What a tragic day for America. The clear majority of all Americans do, in fact, believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Do you? The vast majority of such believers would never think in terms of trying to stifle the free speech of homosexuals, LGBT groups, and the like, as they propose their ideas that marriage should be between a man and a man, and a woman as well. In our free and democratic society, each opposing point of view would have the freedom to believe in, testify, and speak about, and work for the accomplishment of those objectives under the rights granted by the First Amendment. Their rights should never be changed, much less eliminated, no matter how much I may dislike them, or America will fundamentally change in the very worst possible ways. The end of, or even the legislative abridging of the right to free speech signals the end of a free society. Which brings us inevitably to the discussion of Charlie Hebdo. Charlie Hebdo. Perhaps there was no more aggressive publishing entity in the exercise of freedom of speech and freedom of press. They, Charlie, pushed such freedoms to the very limit, the extreme, perhaps, don't you think? Charlie and its publishers, known as Charb, were masters in satire, irony, and even mockery. Charlie attacked virtually every religion. In fact, publisher Charb said the following, "Mohammed isn't sacred to me. Mohammed isn't sacred to me, and therefore I and my publication can do or say anything we wish about him." Charb often bragged that he would never give up the attack, in his words, until Islam is just as banal as Catholicism. Well, aggressive, aren't they? This man was a radical atheist. He hated religion and vowed to do everything possible in nonviolent ways, in his view, to destroy religion, all religions. Consequently, he relentlessly provoked Muslims at every turn. Relentlessly. And so Charlie Hebdo published the famous or perhaps infamous cartoons, which some merely labeled as an irreverent mode of expression, while others regarded them as mocking, profane, and disparaging. Disparaging people in the most blasphemous ways. Some were even obscene and destructive. And that led one writer to state that Charb and his co-editors and writers, quote, were vile pornographers disguised as cartoonists, end quote. One man's opinion, to which he's entitled. They harbored these Charlie Hebdo cartoonists. They harbored a special hatred of Muslims and Christians. Writer Bill Donahue reminds us that freedom of speech may indeed have well-established limits, and First Amendment protections do not, he says, apply to, you ready for these? First Amendment protections do not apply to libel, slander, harassing phone calls, incitement to riot, fighting words, copyright infringement, false advertising, misrepresenting one's credentials, treason, and bribery. Wow, that's quite a list, don't you think? Perhaps he's right, but there are two issues here. The question is there prior restraint from the words or the freedom of press, from words or publishing, or are there consequences after the fact? That's the difference. You know, perhaps Donahue is right and Charb and Charlie were wrong. Donahue thinks that even if we grant cartoonists and others the legal right to maliciously denigrate someone's religion, no one has a moral right to do so. There's a distinction. But if Charlie had the legal right to publish the cartoons, then moral reactions should be individual, should they not? Or at least at the personal level, without prior restraint, no matter the ultimate offendedness. So say the defenders of Charlie. What do you think? What do you think? It's a critically important issue as it pertains to free speech and our First Amendment. But our culture has so radically changed that it has resulted in, as Donahue says, a cultural descent, a decline. That is, the loss of civility by people toward the religious faith of another. And I think we have indeed. But the issue is whether or not nonviolent publications, expressions of speech, should be met with violent reactions and consequently the murder of 12 people in the exercise of freedom of speech, whether you like what they did or not. No speech, no matter how offensive, should produce that kind of reaction. Extremist and jihadist Islam at work. Muslims willing to kill for the mockery of their faith. They may have had a right to be angry, but they had no right to kill. None whatsoever. Franklin Graham of the Billy Graham Organization weighed in and said the following: I fully and completely support freedom of speech and freedom of the press. I also believe that we must recognize that this freedom can be abused. Certain strains of public expression can have serious consequences. Of course they can. Anything can be abused, but the fundamental freedom remains. Respect that I have for Mr. Graham. I am not certain what he means by full support of freedom of speech and press, but at the same time indicate that the freedom can be abused. What does he mean by that? That takes what is objective on the one hand and turns it subjective on the other. There are indeed consequences to everything, but there are more radical, dire, and hurtful consequences to America, our culture, our citizens, and our freedoms if there is any diminution of, any infringement of, or any abridging of, or any modifying of, or any interpreting away of the First Amendment's protections of freedom of speech and freedom of press. What do you think? We must run the risk of free speech, for we have no right not to be offended. For any area of disagreement produces offense of one degree or another. Our only right is the right not to listen. The right not to listen. Everyone had the right not to read, view, or otherwise hear the words of Charlie, or to view those cartoons as this publication attacked Islam. But they had no right, no legal right, to sue, and they had no right to violence of any kind. None. I urge you, my fellow citizens, to stand up for the First Amendment, for free speech, whether religious or not, and to protect and defend what is inherent in those First Amendment rights, the risk of being offended. The risk of being offended. If there are legal consequences to words, so let it be. But there should never be any prior restraint to uttering or publishing those words. We need to run the risk of being offended. Offended because of what some may believe to be hate speech will eventually utterly destroy the First Amendment, and with it our free society and our democracy. And with that, the prohibition to testify, witness, or otherwise tell the world what we believe, especially as Christians. Stand up and speak out, my fellow Americans. The First Amendment protects that, encourages that. Speak up, or those who are so easily offended in our society will make you shut up.